Last summer, it's something different in my preaching. I thought I'd take a look at those men and women who wrote our hymns that we have in our hymnal. And after having done that and working with Lynn on that, she suggested maybe this year we should look at composers, and I was quite open to that. But I tell you the truth, I was a little nervous in that when you write about hymn writers, you have their words to tell you about their faith. And so it's sort of expressed right there. Those who do the composing of the music for our hymns, we don't have their words right there in front of us. Instead, we have the tunes, the music that they produce. And yet, even within those tunes, you can discover that there is a faith to be revealed. And as I read about the four musicians that we've been exploring this month, I've discovered they are all men of deep faith who learn to express their faith in their music. And it seems appropriate to approach that this way as we consider that passage from Revelation that John just read. It's a vision of a heavenly worship service, and what they are doing in this heavenly worship service is singing before God. That's the way they express their love of God, is through singing. Worthy, worthy are you, they say. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So we too sing to God and express our love of God in music. One of those that expressed his faith in music so well was the composer Henry Thomas Smart, who we're focusing on this morning. Henry Smart was born in London on October 23, 1813, son of an accomplished violinist and nephew of Sir George Smart, a famous conductor of the time. He was educated at the Highgate School, where he studied law, but soon gave this up to concentrate on music. He was basically self-taught, but his innate ability shone through in that he became accomplished on the organ, composing both religious and secular music. In 1831, Smart became the organist of Blackburn Parish Church, where he wrote his first important piece of music. Then he moved through several churches before becoming the organist at St. Pancras New Church in 1864, a position he held into his death in 1879 at the age of 66. Now, just a side note, Smart went to college to study law, but maybe he should have studied engineering. He seemed to have a mechanical aptitude, for he designed and built several pipe organs during his lifetime. For those who don't know, I'm an engineer by training, so that one felt really good to me. Although largely self-taught, he became proficient in the organ and playing and composition, and he was a music teacher and even a music critic for a time. Smart was famous for his extemporations and for his accompaniment of congregational singing. He composed opera, oratorios, part songs, instrumental music, and many hymn tunes. He edited several hymn books during his time, including the English Presbyterian hymnal Psalms and Hymns for Divine Worship in 1867 and the Scottish Presbyterian hymnal in 1875. Perhaps his most famous tune is the one we associate with the Christmas carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, a tune named Regent Square. This tune has been proven to be very popular over the century and a half since it was written, being selected to go with many popular hymns, including our opening hymn, Christ Is Made the Sure Foundation. In 1930, the great American preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick so loved the tune that he wrote his famous hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, specifically for that tune. Now, there we have, usually think of poem being written first and a tune being matched up to it. This kind, somebody loved the tune and wrote a poem for it. And then he was horrified to find out that in 1935, the Methodist hymnal paired his lyrics of God of Grace and God of Glory with the tune C.W.M. Rhonda by Ralph Vaughan Williams, which is the tune by which we sing it today. Makes you think, doesn't it? To see what this might sound like, I'm going to invite you to turn to hymn number 420 in your hymnal, God of Grace and God of Glory. And Lynn's going to play the first line in First C.W.M. Rhonda and then in Regent Square. We'll see, follow along with the words and see what how it might sound different in each one. Fascinating. And both would be good, I guess, but it's interesting how a tune that we come associated with was not the tune that the author intended it to be used with. Smart had originally composed this tune for yet another hymn and paired it with this tune as he was, but paired it with the this the our opening hymn, excuse me, when he was editing the English Presbyterian Hymnal, and he named the tune Regent Square after Regent Presbyterian Church, which was known as the Presbyterian Cathedral of London. As we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory this morning, I want you to think, not only to think of Christmas here at this church, but imagine that you were singing the carol on Christmas Eve in the Presbyterian Cathedral in London and see if you can't feel the stately nature of Presbyterian worship in this hymn, combined with the soaring wonder that comes with the birth of Christ. And I'm going to invite you all to stand as we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Though he was a prolific composer and was highly rated by his English contemporaries, only a few of Smart's tunes are now in regular use around the world. His work was described as effective and melodious, if not strikingly original, and several of his secular cantatas and oratorios were highly praised in his day. Like many with exceptional talents, Smart had to overcome other handicaps, and in his case, he spent the last 15 years of his life nearly blind, so blind that he could not read music, but played the organ from memory. He also was too blind to write down his own compositions, so he dictated them to his daughter Ellen, which must have been a particular challenge to them both. One of his last compositions was a tune named Nachtlied, which means night song in German. Smart wrote this tune near the end of his life, inspired by a poem written by Christopher Wordsworth, nephew of the famous poet William Wordsworth. I can imagine his daughter reading this poem to him and he being moved to write music to turn it into a hymn. It's not one that's in our hymnal. I'm going to ask Lynn Hover to play the music. And while she does, I've put the words of the hymn in the hymnal, in the bulletin, and you can read it and follow along. So listen while Lynn plays this tune and follow along with the words and see if you can't feel the mood of someone who has lived a long and faithful life and is now confident in God in facing death. I can imagine him reading these words, in our mortal hour there will be no gloom, no sting in death, nor terror in the tomb, and wanting to both affirm the solemnness of the end of life and yet the hint of the joy that is to come beyond. One of his tunes that is still in our hymnal is the hymn, God the Spirit, Guide and Guardian. The words were written by Carl Daw in 1988, but he resurrected Smart's tune named Bethany to be the accompanying music. Smart wrote this tune in 1867 for the text, Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. He named it Bethany after the village near Jerusalem where Jesus stayed during Holy Week. The solemn nature of the music suited the solemn nature of the original texts. In the more modern text that we will be singing this morning, the text is meant to be an ordination hymn. And given the solemnness of such occasions, Mr. Daw chose well in picking Bethany to be the music to go with his lyrics. You may remain seated as we sing together the hymn, God the Spirit, Guide and Guardian. Smart's probably second most well-known tune is named Lancashire, and it is the tune that goes with the Easter hymn, The Day of Resurrection, and with the missionary hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal. Both of are such great hymns that we've decided we're going to sing them both this morning, one at the end of the sermon and one at the end of the service. Smart wrote this tune early in his career at the age of 22 for the 300th anniversary of the Reformation in England. It was originally published on leaflets instead of in a hymnal and was paired with the text from Greenland's Icy Mountains. I didn't see the text. I am curious what that would be. It was composed for a service in Blackburn in Lancashire, England, hence the name. The original words of this hymn have long been forgotten, but the tune has proven not only to be resilient, but popular and powerful. It has the feel of a march, which made it perfect tune to honor the battle for the faith that was the Reformation. In 1867, it was published with the words to the Day of Resurrection and has been associated with that hymn ever since. This Easter hymn demands a grand setting, and Smart's music provides just that. One can hear it being played not only with an organ full out, but also with accompanying trumpets, proclaiming the victory of our Lord over the forces of the grave. In 1888, Ernest Shurtleff took this tune for his own hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal, which was written for a youth mission rally. Again, one can see why he would choose such a rousing tune to undergird his triumphal words. Picture this hymn being sung by multitudes of young Christians full of enthusiasm for Christ. I can almost imagine them bursting out of the tents to spread the gospel to all the corners of the world. Today, both hymns have a prominent place in our singing lexicon, and both owe a tribute to Henry Smart for giving us a tune that can rouse the soul and celebrate Christ's victory. Let us sing the Day of Resurrection, and as we do, let us stand and pour our hearts out to the one who overcame the power of death and in so doing gave us the power of life. And when we close our service this morning, sing with the same gusto the hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal, and in so doing, send ourselves out from this place into the world, so that a world that is in so need of a rousing message of good news that Christ has given us life, life in this world and life eternal. Please stand and sing the Day of Resurrection.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated.